Glad you tuned in this afternoon. We're bringing you some of our favorite segments of the last few days and weeks here on the Dory Monson Show. And let's face it, we've had a lot to choose from. I mean, this has been the craziest news cycle of my life. And we've had some, you know, massive stories that we've covered over 25 years. But between coronavirus and CHOP and just the insanity of what's happening in our region on a local level, we've just never had the intensity of news that we've had the last few months and especially just the last few days around here. And it's kind of a double-edged sword because it makes it easy when there's just a never-ending supply of topics, but also makes it challenging because the never-ending supply of topics is just draining. I mean, it really is. And so we also have a lot of really fun stuff that we're going to be presenting for you throughout the show today because we can't be all serious all the time, for crying out loud, because that's wearing people down. It really is. So a little holiday weekend stuff for you here. And we'll be back Monday with a brand new big show. So stay safe this weekend. And one of the stories that we talked about recently was that 19-year-old guy went up to Boom City in Marysville and blew off three of his fingers. And I didn't goof on him at all. Because when I was 19 years old, I was capable of doing the exact same thing. It just never happened to happen to me. But I really hope you stay safe. I hope your dogs don't freak out too much. Buddy, Buddy's our first dog ever to not be bothered in the slightest by fireworks. So I got that going for me at least. Okay, enjoy. Be safe. See you Monday at high noon. But don't go anywhere because we've got a lot of really cool stuff for you coming up here on the Dory Monson Show.
I still wake up every morning. You're the first thing to cross my mind. I still smell your sweet perfume in the early afternoon. And that mountain wind comes blowing through the pines. You're the only thing round here I'm holding on to. 'Cause my heart won't, no, my heart won't, no, my heart just won't stop loving you.
Well, you are listening to the music of Modern West, a song called Won't Stop Loving You. And Modern West is fronted by one of the greatest actors of our lifetime. And that's Kevin Costner, who joins us, I think this is the first time ever, on the Dory Monson Show. Kevin, what a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you.
I want to talk about Yellowstone. I know that starts its new season. That is such a great show, man. It starts new season a week from Sunday, the 21st, on the Paramount Network. But since I've never talked to you before, Kevin, I got a lot of ground to cover with you, including Okay, let's go. I like extracting life lessons from really successful people. And from what I know about you, you get your college degree at Cal State Fullerton. Go Titans. You had kind of a safe life. Might have been a nice middle-class life. Got your business degree. You were kind of dabbling in acting. And then you met somebody who really changed the course of your life. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
I think you're talking about Richard Burton. And there's this moment in time when a lot of us are just trying to figure out, where is the yellow brick road? You know, where is it? And, for you, that maybe it was music. Maybe you're exactly right where you want to be. Maybe there's something else that's out there. But I was kind of wandering. I was like a rat in a maze chasing the cheese. I went to college. I did all that stuff that you're supposed to do. But none of it was speaking out loud to me. And I knew as I traced the breadcrumbs in my life backwards. I knew that I had been writing poetry, playing classical piano. I knew music. I knew entertaining, telling stories was something, but coming out of a blue-collar background, I never translated it that that's how a guy could make a living. I thought the people that were on the screen were, like, born on the screen, that, you know. And but there came this moment where I had to kind of shake loose of this very conservative way I grew up and said, wait a second, everything's possible for me. And I, as long as it is authentic, as long as it's really my own heartbeat, it's telling me to do it. And that's how I started conducting my life. And it's taken me places that never would have happened had I gone down that, whatever you want to call it, traditional or conventional way of living. That scared me more than anything. And, you know, I was not afraid of work. I've worked since I was 16. I've driven trucks. I framed houses. I worked commercial fishing boats. So blue-collar work, to me, is something I still do.
And his advice was, you can't just dabble in it. You got to jump in with both feet and just put all your heart and soul into it.
You know, I've never told anybody what he told me. I kind of just keep that to myself. But it was an interesting moment because he could have done just the exact opposite, which is we met on a plane and he could have just said, "Hey, look, I'm sitting here." He actually bought the four seats around him so no one could talk to him, but kind of like the mongoose who plays with the cobra. I didn't know. I just went up to talk to him. He could have completely laid me out, if you will. I mean, the whole plane was dying to know why the hell I even had walked up there. But I was really searching my soul at that moment, and I saw him as somebody that I thought I could talk to. And so the big regret is he never has seen me, you know, in the movies.
Yeah, that does take guts. What was inside of you that said, I'm going to walk into this cone of secrecy with all the empty seats? That's amazing to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I tell you what, when you're kind of, I mean, once you kind of are feeling something, it's almost you don't have that fear. You know, you want to have a level of respect, but there was just something that I had to get up because it was like, you know, when you're in the, I grew up as a Baptist, you know, in church, and there, you know, you're always feeling like the preacher's talking to you. And I'm looking at this guy in a plane, and I'm sitting here trying to make this kind of big decision in my life. Do I go this direction? And there he's sitting, and I don't know what possessed me. You know, it's like somebody pushed a button in me, and I hypnotically walked up there. So was a moment. A quiet one.
Did the Baptist in you tell you that God put him there in your presence for a reason, or vice versa?
I don't walk it back that way, but I feel like there's almost no mistakes out there. You know, you can pray, you can do whatever you want to do in your life, but you're also the person that has to get up in the morning and work at what you do. I hope there's somebody looking over my life. Somebody's had to be, because I've had a pretty blessed life, and my children are safe. I'm safe. It can't be because I'm just a charming person. I do think there's something that covers my life. I do feel that.
We're talking with Kevin Costner, who's made just some of the seminal movies of our time. Bull Durham, Field of Dreams, the two greatest baseball movies ever made. My producer, Nicole, says The Bodyguard is the best movie ever made. And now, one other thing before I get to Yellowstone. When I'm turning, you know, flipping around on the TV, Kevin, one of the movies I can't flip past, Bull Durham's on the list, Field of Dreams on the list, Air Force One is on the list. And I didn't realize until I was prepping to talk to you today that Air Force One was written for you.
Well, they asked
is that
me
right?
To do it. I just thought, you know what? Why don't you give it to Harrison? You know, it didn't speak out loud to me. You know, it didn't speak out. I've never been sorry about that, and he was really good in it. But that kind of thing doesn't. I don't lose any sleep over that stuff.
Well, you've had too much success to have regrets like that, I would think. Okay, and then how smart are you? Because, you know, now we're in a time, the world's gone crazy, movie theaters aren't even surviving, and there was a time, decade, two decades ago, when movie stars didn't do TV. But you, one of the biggest movie names in the world, you did Yellowstone on the Paramount Network. Is that a leap of faith, or were there some other creative issues that made you realize this is the right vehicle on the right platform at the right time?
Well, yeah, anybody can look back and, trying to, like I say, trace the breadcrumbs of your life, you never know if you're doing something right. This is the second time I've done TV. I did Hatfields and McCoys. And likewise on Hatfield McCoys, just like Yellowstone, for instance, I made a concept record about how I was feeling during it. It was called Famous for Killing Each Other. And I try to chase writing. And when I decided to do Tales from Yellowstone, part of how I prepare for that is to, with my band, I start writing music about it, about the different characters, about how I might be feeling during the making of it the last 3 years. So the record we have coming out on Friday, which is the 19th, is called Tales from Yellowstone. And it's just a concept record of everything that I've been thinking while making this. It's about the characters. It's music cues that are played in the show. And of course, Yellowstone comes out on Father's Day, the 21st. But on the 19th, Tales from Yellowstone comes out. And so if anybody's interested at all about how I go about doing my work, if they see that record, they'll understand what about the characters, about how I was feeling.
You used the word blessed a little bit earlier. I can't imagine being, you're just a couple of years older than me. I can't imagine being at a place in life where you can play the music you want, do the projects you want. I can't imagine that there's a better definition of contentment. And that's what I seem to be hearing as I talk to you here.
Well, I tell you for sure, Dory, that is the myth sometimes, that you get everything you want. I still have these dreams, and they don't fall into the conventions of what people want me to do, but they stand clearly for me what I want. And I have to push those uphill to get them over. I can do a lot of things that people want me to do, kind of repeat the same success or do something. But I always feel like my relationship with an audience is about a level of surprise. And kind of like having a secret, that secret. I read the best book last night. Now I'm going to tell you about it. I heard the best song yesterday. Now I'm going to tell about it. I have these kind of stories in my head, whether they're 4 minutes long songs like Won't Stop Loving You, or they're a 4-hour Western or about something else. I feel like I have this chance all the time to share something that kind of can be something someone, if you do it right, won't ever forget. And we know that movies are made up of moments like that. So many movies we do don't always work that way, but some, they are about moments that you'll never, ever forget. And I have those things in my head. And the idea that I can just do whatever I want, it's not really true. So anybody out there thinking about it, I have to push it uphill, because there are people who want me to do things and it feels like everything I seems a little bit too hard for people. But I can't let that kind of kill the dream. So even now, there are things that I want. I got some secrets that I want people to ultimately see. And the only way they're going to ever see it is if I don't let go of it.
Well, I would love to have you back on any time and hear about those stories in your head that have yet to come to fruition. And Kevin, just on a personal note, man, I mean, Bull Durham, Field of Dreams, Dances with Wolves, I just can't tell you how much a fan and how huge those movies were in my 20s and my 30s. You're somebody who has just made such an impact, and it's really a thrill to have you on. Love talking with you.
Thank you very much.
And here's a little bit more of Kevin Costner and Modern West as we head out. That was Kevin Costner joining us here on the Dory Monson Show. He seems like a really good, solid dude. Loved having him on. Okay, we got lots, and he had to go because we were running late. He was telling me about the stories in his head there, which I loved. All right, we have lots more straight ahead as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Our favorite segments here on the Dory Monson Show. Thank you for hanging out with us. Thanks for giving us the opportunity to, you know, grab a little bit of a holiday weekend here. And we will be back with you Monday at high noon with a brand new show. And I'm not going anywhere forever after this. I took days off last week. I get a holiday weekend this week. But really glad you're with us. And you can stay in touch on Twitter. You can still text us, check in the text line, and thank you for being a great listener here for Cairo Radio and on the Dory Monson Show.
That hair. Yep, Dave got it quick.
Oh, he sure did. Boy, that Eddie Van Halen, that is one signature. You're a guitarist, Chris. Is he the best?
Yeah, he was doing something that nobody was quite doing at the time.
Really?
Who? Yeah,
how about Stevie Ray Vaughan, Chris? Gotta love Stevie Ray.
You know, my favorite guitarist is a guy named Robert Quine. He played with a bunch of bands in the 70s. He played with Lou Reed and people like that.
Gotcha.
Dave, have you ever seen Chris Martin's band? Any of the YouTube clips?
No.
What's the name of your band, Chris?
We're called Kinski.
Kinski. That's right. Yeah, you guys are really good. I watched. I told you that a few months ago. I watched a bunch of your stuff, and you guys are really good.
Oh, thanks. You could play any instrument, Dory. What would it be?
Well, I'm a poor to average piano player, and I love playing. I sat down yesterday and I played for about a half hour, but I'm not that good. And, you know, the portability of the guitar, I think that'd be really cool to do,
yeah.
too. How about you?
You know, I think I'd like to be a drummer. I like the violence. I like the violence.
No, I can see that. I can see that. Yeah, that would fit you just fine. How are you, Dave? Haven't talked to you in a while.
I'm good. Yeah, I know. How you been? Yeah.
I'm really
glad
good.
There's no turmoil going on.
So
it's been nice and calm, right?
And it does look. It, talking about it is nothing like, you know, what so many people are dealing with. But it just gets so wearying to just have to do that. So anyway, I wanted to talk about some other stuff. First of all, what's going on in sports? So the NBA's coming back, and baseball's just at a absolute impasse, and they may not even have a season. I mean, is that possible?
Yeah, right now it is. And, you know, here's the thing. I found interesting anyway, is that, you know, the Major League Baseball, their union has always been like the benchmark for other sports.
Sure.
And I just remember talking to a guy when I retired who had the same tenure as I did in the NFL. And his pension was like 8 times what mine was. Now, the NFL has done, you know, some things recently to amp that up. But, I mean, they're a tough union. And so the players' union is – been notoriously tough, but I think people are starting to get really annoyed by that. And I just hope the players aren't, you know, I hope they have the perspective of the things like, you know, the Oakland A's decided to not pay their farm guys, which,
right.
you know, I don't know, it was like 400 a week for some guys and it was going to save them a few $100,000, but you know, or maybe it was, you know, maybe it was $1 million. I don't know. I mean, it was a business move, but still, I think it was a bad business move because, you know, at some point you're, you know, that's going to kind of, when all this is over, those are the kinds of things that people are going to remember. And so I think they're starting to kind of teeter that way. I feel like once they get it done, it should be okay and everybody will forget about it, but it's starting to get ugly enough where I think people may not forget it.
Yeah, and, you know, I played for you a few weeks ago, that kid, I can't remember, Blake Snell, is it, from Shorewood High School here? And, mm-hmm. you know, there are all these people who can't even get an unemployment check from the state. And he's making millions a year, $7 million a year or something. And he says, I'm not going to play for half of that because I'm afraid of the Rona. And
right.
You know, and I understand that, you know, you got to take care of yourself. But keep your mouth shut while you're doing it, because people aren't feeling really empathetic right now about either owners or players.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, when I was on the picket line in 1987, I hated it, and I did it, and my agent told me to do it, but I did the absolute minimum that I possibly could. And I remember one of the protests, we're sitting there wearing these sandwich board things, walking around, and we're, you know, and there's a few camera people there. And then one of our players pulls up in his brand new Mercedes and gets out, and he is going to put on the, you know, the sandwich board and walk around and talk about how we're disrespected. And yeah, it was just such a bad look. And I just think being aware of that is really important, because, you know, your fans, I mean, they don't understand it. And yesterday we had Ryan Divish on, and he was saying, well, I can't remember the stat. It was like 50-60% make below, you know, $1 million. I think it was 60% of Major League Baseball make below $1 million, but they're still making, you know, $400,000-$500,000, you know, you know, I'm sorry, people just, they're not going to relate. We got every roof in our house. By the way, I need to get a roofer from you, Dory, but almost every
Valentine
roof in our
roofing,
neighborhood.
Best in the business.
Okay, I'm going to have to call them, but I'm watching these roofers next door. These dudes work their tails off. I don't know how they stand on these pitched roofs. They've got ropes holding them. They work their tails off. And so, you know, guys like that, they're listening to a guy complain about making $500,000. How about go stand on a roof all day, you know, and hammer and nails, and, you know, that's not going to go over well at all.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay, I've got a little assignment for you as we take time out here. So I saw, and like I said, I don't want to talk about serious heavy stuff with you, but I saw a piece in the Washington Post asking Hollywood to stop making any police movies or TV shows, and they want networks to stop airing. I'm serious.
Hold on. Wait. No T.J. Hooker? Private security? No Paul Blart Mall Cop? Or Prison Guards?
Well, save
okay?
it.
What
save
about
it.
Shawshank Redemption?
Save it. No, that's a prison movie. That's not a cop movie. But that's what I want to talk with you about, because I know a lot about TV. You know a lot about movies. And what would have been lost to our culture if we had shut down all police TVs and movies? So, I mean, plus it's just like your laughter tells it all. It's just so stupid.
It's stupid
where we're going
ever.
Now. Yeah. So, and for the listener, text us at 98973. Greatest cop TV show, greatest cop movie of all time. Let me know what you think. Okay. We're going to take a time out here. I assume music's about to start playing. Oh, I feel like I know this.
I do too. Is this Tears for Fears? You took
me on. No, but close.
Simple Minds.
Yep, Dave got it.
Dang it! Oh, God.
I like Chris.
Do nothing. Chris, you're killing it with these songs. These are good. I like it. Okay, lots more straight ahead. Send me a text. What will we lose if the Washington Post gets its way and we never have cop shows on TV or theater again? Dave Wyman, our conversation with him continues here on the Dory Monson Show.
Oh, come on.
Just some punk rock. Punk rock band, maybe?
Everybody out in Radioland is screaming the answer.
Is this considered punk rock, Chris?
Yeah, it's the Ramones. I thought you guys would know this immediately.
Ramones, that was punk rock. They were huge. When I was in college, and I had so many friends who were into the Ramones, and I couldn't do it. Dave, I was too into Billy Joel to branch out at all. Stop it.
Where were we?
Okay, so the Washington Post is asking Hollywood to stop making any cop-themed TV shows or movies. I'm not making this up.
This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Then also there's some people that are trying to eliminate cops entirely. Who's going to stop the bad guys? So anyway.
You're going to sit in my driveway and you're going to help. That's it.
I've always told you this story that I've always wanted to make a movie. I had this great idea for a police movie. So there's this loose cannon cop who somehow gets results and get this twist. He has like a police chief who's always super pissed off at him. What do you think about that idea for a cop movie?
I have never even heard a concept like that before. That would be unique and brilliant.
Yeah.
I can't do it, though,
because the Washington Post says no. So
no, I mean, exactly.
There goes that.
So what's on the list of the greatest cop TV shows and movies of all time?
I was going through and looking at some of them. I'd never watched any of the cop movies on TV that were like Hill Street Blue, NYPD Blues, The Wire, Law and Order. Never watched any of those. Maybe a little bit of Miami Vice, but not so much on TV. Yeah. Did you like the TV shows?
Oh,
Barney Miller,
I
guess.
TV. I'm all about the TV. Hill Street Blues, it's back on some satellite channel, and I'm DVRing it because it is as good today as it was in the very early 80s when it first aired. NYPD Blue I loved, but I went back even further. One of the five greatest shows in television history is The Andy Griffith Show. You watch Andy Griffith?
Kind of a cop. I sure did. I loved it.
That's all it is. Andy and Barney, that's all they are is cops. And Homicide,
maybe they should go ahead. I'm interrupting you. Well, I was just going to say, this whole regulation of the police force and everything, they should treat them more like, who was the deputy who only got one bullet? Was that Barney?
Barney Fife. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they can implement some of those standards.
I'm sure they would love to, yeah. Homicide: Life on the Street is one of the greatest shows ever. And Miami Vice, Dave, my goal by summer is, now that my knee's working again, I'm going to get trim and fit, and I'm going to wear nothing but linen and pastels.
Oh, gosh. Are you still wearing clothes that don't have any fasteners? Because I know that was the case for a while. There was only slip-on shoes and waistbands. Yeah,
I'm like an 80-year-old. Okay.
Or a 2-year-old.
What are the... Yeah, my wife puts me in a jumper every morning. Movies. You're better at movies than I. Which ones?
Well, I have to say, I thought... These are pretty dark, but I always say I hate Seven because that movie was so dark and just terrible at the end with Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman. You ever see Seven?
Never seen it. No.
It's evil. It's evil. And the same thing, which is what's great about it. And Training Day, too. I like Lethal Weapon, Kindergarten Cop, Beverly Hills Cop. I'm just continuing on because I have no idea who this is. It's some Australian band.
AC/DC?
I can see the band members wearing the British flag shirts. Am I right, Chris?
Clash.
Yeah, Big
the
Country.
Clash?
Big Country.
Big Country.
Oh, Big Country.
By the way, greatest cop movies of all time, Dirty Harry.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Do you feel lucky, punk? All right, Dave Wyman, you can hear him every afternoon, 3 to 7, 7:10 ESPN Seattle. Thanks for coming on, Dave.
Thanks, Dory.